Welcome back to Movement, a running podcast with our very own in-house running expert, Dr. Rajat Chauhan. We are on to the 13th episode. Welcome, Dr. Chauhan.
Thank you, ma'am, and salutations to all the listeners.
So the first question is from Mohit Rai Soni, who's asking, what should nutrition be for a vegetarian like him who is running long distances?
All right, so vegetarians are generally too heavily carb-loaded or carb-dependent in India. So what I mean by that is too much of rice, too much of rotis is what we are tending to have. Please replace carbs in the morning with a lot of proteins like lentils, paneer, sprouts is great. So sprouts of all kinds, raw sprouts, is a very, very good idea in the morning. It'll be great if you can start with eggs as well. So if someone's a vegetarian, I tend to tell them, hey, listen, why not eggs as well, boiled eggs or something. If not, stick with lentils and paneer and rest. There's a very simple tip, make chapatis thinner and lesser of parathas. Now, these simple things really, they change the whole equation of, you know, how much more carbs or proteins are you taking. Now, generally cut down on all grains and sugar. Add fat again into diet. So like ghee was supposed to be very, very good. And then suddenly this whole thing came about how bad fat is. And we started eating lesser fat ghee.
Right.
And osteoporosis, courtesy that bit. So, you know, please just keep having your ghees and stuff. You might want to have some supplementary proteins, but first fix your regular diet. Again, another simple tip is for all really, have dinner 2 hours before sleeping. So
right. You
can really digest what you've eaten.
So this replacing carbs would also include bread, right?
That's right. Bread as well. That's right, yes.
The next question is from Sekar Das from Bangalore, who's asking, is surgery the only option for retrocalcaneal bursitis spur? First, I think you need to explain what this term is.
Definitely. So let me first tell the audience, what does this tongue twister of a diagnosis mean? First thing is, it makes doctors feel special and, you know, all geniuses and all that. It's nothing much, really. It's a spur in the heel region of the foot, or spur being a sharp protrusion of the bone. So you can feel it. It's like a sharp bit that's kind of coming out in the heel area. Now, as much as X-ray can show the spur, finding a spur does not mean the spur is causing the heel pain. So that sharp little protruding bone is not necessarily the cause for pain in the first place. People need to be knowing that, actually. There are enough people with heel pain who don't have spurs on X-rays. So understand that bones are living tissues. So when they're being pulled by the two muscles, groups attached to the heel, namely calf and the plantar fascia is the muscle at the base of the foot. When they're being pulled, because they're being tight, so that little spur is being formed courtesy the pull from both the muscles. So it'll strain on the bone there, causing tension, which can lead to pain. For this, you will need to work on your muscle imbalance throughout the body, which will help with running form, start running softer, definitely stop thumping while running. So, you know, that heavy landing that you do while running, stop doing that. And simply be soft on your feet. And the focus should not just be speed. First, get your technique right. You know, just be soft lander. And also, if you can, one thing you need to do is change the running surface. So start running on softer ground. Now, to sum it all up, there is a tons more you should do, since what is going on to be operated is necessarily not the cause for the pain. Work with the body. That's 99% of cases are just taken care of by that. And surgery is not necessarily the answer for this.
So basically, the answer to this question is no. Surgery is not the only option.
That's right.
Great. Moving on. The next question is from Bharat Chopra, who asks, can stiffness in the neck or shoulder blades trigger headaches while running or cause migraine, or are these completely unrelated?
All right, so the solution is to actually mobilize, at the same time strengthen the upper back. So we've previously spoken about that orange squeezing exercise, where imagine there's an orange between your shoulder blades and you're squeezing it between the two shoulder blades. So start doing that, more of it, because that simple exercise is enough to get that upper back working for you again. So that's the one that's a primary reason for causing migraines and headaches in runners.
Right. You've also been promoting a squats challenge. Why don't you tell our listeners something about that?
Right, so squats is one of the most natural movements and position for us humans. But then the chairs came along, and, you know, and even commode chairs and all that. So when we wanted to rest in like 1,000 years ago or something, we simply squatted on the ground. Surprisingly, now we can't do that. You know, we cannot squat down fully, most of us.
Yes.
So the whole idea is getting back that natural movement again. Folks would argue that, you know, how is this relevant to running? It is, because as some runners or most runners would appreciate, the quadriceps, and so the upper thigh muscles, they are very important for running. But same is the case with gluteus maximus, the butt muscles, which people don't know enough about. When you start squatting properly, these muscles are getting activated again, and your running form will get better because the muscle imbalance is taken care of. So the idea is to get working on that. And so what I have been promoting is start doing squats, a certain number, 11 squats, three times a day. In some time, 2-4 weeks, you can do 33 three times. So suddenly those muscles are firing better. When you're running softer, injuries aren't happening, you're running faster. So that was the idea behind this whole squat challenge.
So why don't you tell us how the squat is actually to be done?
All right, it's very simple. So draw a line on the ground and stand behind that. So your toes are right behind that line. And 6 to 9 inches behind your heel, put a chair or a stool. And chair has to be without the wheels. So it has to be a wheel-less chair. So right. Stable
stationary
surface. That's right. And when you're squatting down, your knees should not cross the line on the ground. So basically lean backwards a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the chair is really for that. So basically when your butt is going down, it should touch that chair or stool and come back again. So what you're doing is you're starting to work your hamstrings, your quads, your calves, your glutes and lower back at the same time in the same one movement. So that's the whole idea of doing this one. Keep the movement slow. Keep the technique right. And doesn't matter if you do low reps.
Right.
But do them right.
Okay, great. And so then, what's the myth buster of this week?
Yeah, so myth buster is related to this. While I had posted this, a couple of other friends, and one of them actually is Manideepa Mandal, who was actually with Mint earlier. So she asked me, like, you know, doing the same exercise, repeating it so many times, because actually yesterday I did 555 of these.
Wow.
So she was like, you know, is it natural for the body, like, you know, and boring and all that? So here's the thing. I'm not asking, as much as I did 555 yesterday, I'm not asking anyone else to do it. Start with 11, three times a day. Start with small numbers, and gradually you'll get to higher numbers. And no, there's no need to get into three figures at all, okay? But just by repeating it again and again, that natural movement is coming back. That was the whole idea with this. Now, as I said earlier, it is a natural movement.
Right.
And again, this reminds me of Bruce Lee's very famous quote that, you know, I fear not the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks once, but I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times.
Yes.
So that is the whole idea. Just keep doing it again and again. It'll get ingrained into those muscles and the brain and all that. So that's the whole idea of doing it again and again. And I run some interesting distances. At times I run races with very long running without having run, you know, too much, but having just done strength training and gone into them. And I fared pretty well. So strength is going to be very important for all.
So I guess this pretty much covers the exercise of the week also. So what about the running schedule for this week?
Last week, we took a little bit of a break or like an active rest, if it were. We ran lesser. This week, we'll do a little bit more. Idea is to change gears here, get to the next level now. So I'm not a big fan of running events, even though I organize a few of my own. I would like you to sign up for 5 or 10K in next 2 to 3 months so you have a target to train for. Otherwise, it'll be like, you know, headless chickens. Yes, they're doing something, but not knowing towards what.
Yes.
So I think that's a good idea. And there are enough events all over the place. Now, sticking to the same format, we do 3 running activities in a week on a Sunday, as slow as you like. So start with a very slow walk, followed by a 1 minute brisk walk, followed by a 7 minute jog.
Right.
Now, this we repeat again and again. We repeat this 5 times. Mm. Okay. Mm. Very easy walk for a minute, brisk walk for a minute, and then 7 minute jog. And the whole idea is when you're doing your easy and brisk walks, you're catching your breath. So you're ready for the next 7 minutes.
Right.
And effectively, you end up doing like 45 odd minutes, and that is enough. While you're doing this, whether while walking or running, keep your feet soft. So, you know, when you land, you should be landing soft on your feet. Mm. That'll prevent most of the injuries. And the second part to it is, on a Tuesday or a Wednesday maybe, look for doing a tempo run. That's a 9 minute non-stop run twice.
Right.
With rest for a minute or two. Here the idea is when you're running and someone asks you a question or were to ask you a question, you should be able to answer in only 4 to 5 words. So the speed is faster than what you did on a Sunday on the slow run. And again, during the break, the whole idea is to catch your breath. So that's the tempo run. And the last one is interval training. So here what you're doing is you start off with a very easy 1 minute slow jog. Pick up the pace for 3 minutes. Now, if someone were to ask you a question, you should be able to answer in a word or two.
Right.
So you're going quick. And you keep that pace for 3 minutes, rest for a minute again, and go back to it again. So do this repeats 6 times. Each time you take a break, catch your breath, you know, just relax the whole body and repeat again.
Right.
Besides this, you can go for 2-3 other days of very super easy slow jog or walks or whatever.
Right.
Okay. And strength training some 2-3 times a week. So that's it.
Great. So let's go to the story of the week. And this week it's a story of a 13-year-old boy, Aditya, who is having this ADHD, which is the attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and breathlessness. So why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, completely. I relate to him completely. So I'm someone who cannot sit, you know, in one place for like 5 minutes even today. ADHD, that's what I had and still have probably even today. So as he turned 11, and you know, this is from his dad, he's a good friend who shared this story, and Aditya is from Bangalore.
Right.
And as he turned 11, he took up running and started doing about 5 odd kilometers because his dad, Nagraj, has been running for a while. So, you know, kids get inspired by their parents. So, you know, he kind of went with him a few times. So he would run with him on weekdays for about 4 or 5 days a week. And slowly, this was at a pace of 12 minutes per mile or say 7.5 minutes per kilometer. As much as the dad says it's a slow pace, it's not a slow pace for a kid who's 11 years old. So it's very good to start with. Then at about 3 months, his situation started getting better about this whole attention-seeking thing. And he was able to see the results, though not dramatic improvements yet. And his father, Nagraj, kept goading him to continue his running and improve the distance a bit, which he did, hitting 7 kilometers in place of 5. This continued for about 1.5 years with a few breaks in between because he's off on school trips for a few weeks to a month sometimes. So, you know, that's why the break was happening in between. Meanwhile, his body was also getting stronger due to running. And then during the summer, he took off in a big way this summer and started doing distances of 10 kilometers and above on weekdays and sometimes even on weekends. Now, his parents also slowly started noticing changes in his behavior, more marked versus the previous year. And he was able to focus on his studies much better at school. He was more attentive to what was happening around him. He became a much better listener and has been able to process auditory information in a more efficient manner without drifting away mentally when someone was addressing him or when was a part of a larger gathering like classrooms and, you know, other peers around him. So he was more attentive. Now, the changes in this domain kind of happened quite dramatically in a span of 3 months. And this can be related directly to the amount of distances that he was actually doing. And even the teachers have started giving a similar feedback. During August, he became, because of the decent weather in Bangalore, he was able to run about 12 to 16 kilometers on weekdays and has been enjoying it. He also sandwiches bicycle rides in between his running days, but his primary love is running. He runs at a pace of about 9.5 to 10 minutes per mile. On some days, he does 8:40 minutes per mile. Just last week, the guy ran a mile in 7 minutes, 6 seconds. That's a 1.6 kilometers in that time. Now, that's quicker than most adults who are doing it. Now, overall, the point being, this has helped him with his self-confidence, has helped him calm down. So besides that whole thing about, you know, why is running good for you, I think it's just amazing what it can actually do.
Yeah, and just a 13-year-old, this is a really inspirational story for everybody.
Yeah.
So what about the running events which are close to us?
Yeah, so it's pretty much repeating events we have mentioned in the past. So there are 10-kilometer runs being done by as part of Adidas running in various cities. The immediate ones are in Bangalore on 2nd October and in Chennai on 16th October. Registrations are still open, so get on with, you know, signing up for that. Again, if listeners from Bangalore and Chennai are there, I think these are good ones to sign up for because by then they'll be pretty good with 10K. Then there is Go Heritage Run in Coorg on 25th September. There, the distances are 5, 10 and 21 kilometers. The entire stretch is on road with total elevation gain of 371 meters for the 21 kilometer route. This can be checked on goheritagerun.com/Coorg. Then the same chaps are organizing something on 23rd October. Same distance again, 5, 10 and 21. This is more of a trail stretch at the ancient city, 7th century Mahakuta temple, and then onto a road route after that. So total elevation gain there is 280 meters.
Right.
And the last one is, you know, the very popular, our own Delhi Half Marathon, which happens around October, November. This time it's on 20th November.
Right.
Registrations are open. Please, if interested, just sign up for it. Even if you can't do 21, there's this great Delhi run that happens, I think 6 kilometers this time. So sign up for that and be there.
Great. So lots of runs happening all across the country. So just to also remind race organizers that if they are organizing any events which they want to mention in the podcast, then please, they need to get in touch with us. So thank you, Dr. Chauhan, and we'll catch up next week.
Thank you, ma'am. And to all, keep smiling.